Thank you very much for attending my presentation today. And the title is Soil Properties Under Switchgrass Fertilized with Nitrogen Across the Topo Sequence in Northeastern South Dakota. We have a hypothesis, which is increasing the nitrogen rate applied to switchgrass increases soil amorphous silicon and decreases plant available silicon. Switchgrass is a perennial C4 crop, and it can be grown successfully in low-quality lands. And our experiment was done in a CRP field, and that was back in 2008. And switchgrass produces high above-ground biomass and a productive root system. And you can see that from the picture attached. You can see how productive the root system is. Biomass yield significantly increased with increasing nitrogen rate from 0 to 100 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. This determination was done in the same field. So the biomass here is the biomass of the switchgrass in our experiment. And that was done in 2013. Why we are interested in switchgrass? Because it is a silicon consumer. So silicon concentration in switchgrass ranges from 1.6 to 2%. And in fact, this percentage here is very close to the nitrogen percentage in switchgrass. The experiment was done in northeastern South Dakota in the Day County. And as I've just mentioned, it was established in 2008. And the main purpose of establishing this experiment was to test the impact of nitrogen fertilizer on the biomass production. And then 7 years later, we collected the soil samples across the landscape from the five landscape positions: summit, shoulder, backslope, foot slope, and toe slope. And from each landscape position, we collected four soil cores and to a depth of 1.2 meters. And then after that, the first thing we made was we described our soil cores to know the horizon depths, soil color, and soil structure. And then we divided each soil profile to its genetic horizons, and then we air-dried them, crushed them, sieved them, and then made some analyses like the soil texture and bulk density. Of course, the bulk density was determined before crushing the soil sample. And also, we determined the soil organic carbon from determining the total carbon and soil inorganic carbon, and then we subtracted the soil inorganic carbon from the total carbon to get the soil organic carbon. And we determined also the total nitrogen, available silicon, amorphous silicon, available phosphorus, soil pH, and EC. These are the classifications of our soils. We found the abused soil series at the summit, which is calci-udols. And at the shoulder, we found Barney, which is haploudols. And at the back slope, we found Foreman, which is RGUdols. And then at the foot slope and toe slope, we found Astad, which is RGUdols. And of course, this kind of classification was done many, many years ago. And our current samples did not show the same classification. And here, our descriptions. The first thing I would like to show you is the depth, how the depth changes across the landscape. And as you see here, the depth, the shortest depth is at the shoulder, and that's expected because of the erosion process. And also you can see that the A horizon thickness increases across the landscape because of the erosion deposition process. And for the soil color, as we know, the soil color gets darker across the landscape from the upland to the lowland. And within each soil profile, we can know that the color gets lighter with depth. And in terms of the soil structure, the soil structure was dominated by subangular blocky in all of the samples except the lowland that we found it as fine granular structure. And the texture was ranged from silty loam to silty clay loam. Soil organic carbon. Here I would like to, I gave only two landscape positions to see the distribution of the soil organic carbon across the landscape. That's why I chose the summit and the toe slope. And here we have three lines. The green represents the 100 kilogram per kilogram nitrogen per hectare treatment. The red line represents the 50 kilogram nitrogen per hectare treatment. And the blue color represents the control treatment, zero kilogram nitrogen per hectare. And here we can see that after 7 years of applying nitrogen to switchgrass, we found that the soil organic carbon increased with increasing the nitrogen rate. And also within the same profile, we can see that the soil organic carbon decreased with depth. And here across the landscape, we can see that if we take a look at, if we compare the green line here, which represents the 100 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, to the other green line that represents the same treatment, but from the summit to the toe slope, we can find that the soil organic carbon in the lowland, in the toe slope, is higher compared to the summit. And that's not only because of the nitrogen movement, but also because of the erosion of organic materials from the upland and its deposition at the lowland. Soil bulk density. The soil bulk density increased with depth, and that makes sense. And here we can find that at the upper two horizons, we can find that applying nitrogen to switchgrass decreased the soil bulk density. We can see here the green line is here and higher than it is the red line and then the blue line. And also if we take a look at the distribution of the soil bulk density from the summit to the toe slope, we can find that the soil bulk density decreases across the landscape. And here, this is the soil total nitrogen concentration in gram per kilogram under switchgrass across the studied topo sequence. And I would like first to compare the total nitrogen between the 0 kilogram nitrogen per hectare and 100 kilogram per hectare, and it's expected to find more total nitrogen at the 100 kilogram per hectare treatment compared to the zero treatment. And also, if we try to compare the total nitrogen across the landscape, we can find the total nitrogen increased across the landscape from the summit to, or from the shoulder to the foot slope. And within each soil profile, we can find that the total nitrogen decreased with depth. Here, the plant available phosphorus concentration. The plant, in our experiment, we did not apply phosphorus, and we did expect to find less phosphorus under the 100 kilogram nitrogen per hectare compared to the 0 kilogram nitrogen per hectare, because when you apply more nitrogen, the plant will grow better and it will consume more phosphorus. That's why we found less phosphorus under the high rate of nitrogen. And also, across the landscape, we can see that phosphorus increased from the shoulder or from the upland to the lowland because of the erosion and deposition process again. And for the within each soil profile, we can find that phosphorus decreased with depth because most of the plant roots are concentrated in the upper half of each root system. The soil pH here, we found, you know, a decrease in the soil pH with increasing the nitrogen rate. It was slightly decreased, but it was not significant. And that's because, you know, when you apply nitrogen, it acidifies your soil for the long-term work. And across the landscape, the pH decreased significantly. For example, at the shoulder here, it decreased from 7.66 to 6.43. That's because of the accumulation of the eroded nitrogen from the upland and its deposition at the lowland. So it did acidify the lowland more compared to the upland. And also within each soil profile, we found that the pH increased with depth, and that's because of the paramaterial in which the soil developed, which is the glacial till. The EC, or the salt concentration, we did not actually find interesting results for the EC. We found no trend for the EC, either with depth or across the landscape, or even between the nitrogen rates. And here, because the switchgrass root system is very deep, it might go deep as 2.5 meters. So we thought that it's much better to calculate the stock of each property we want to measure so that we can know how much carbon can be stored in the soil for the 1.2 meter depth. And here we found for the soil organic carbon, of course, the soil organic carbon stock increased from 65.9 megagram per hectare to 89.9 megagram per hectare, and that is a significant increase. And in terms of plant available silicon, we expect it to decrease with increasing the nitrogen rate, and that's why we found it decreased from 0.93 megagram per hectare to become 0.73 megagram per hectare. And on the other hand, the amorphous silicon increased with increasing the nitrogen rate because you are increasing the biomass, and the biomass increase means increase of phytoliths, and the phytoliths might go back to the soil. Conclusions: increasing the applied nitrogen rate increased concentrations and stocks of soil organic carbon, soil total nitrogen, and amorphous silicon. However, it decreased the soil bulk density, which is good. The available phosphorus and available silicon were decreased. Within Pidon, soil organic carbon, soil total nitrogen, available phosphorus, and amorphous silicon decreased with depth and increased downslope across the topo sequence. Within Pidon's soil bulk density and pH increased with depth and decreased downslope across the topo sequence. Thank you.
Time for one quick question. Yes, sir.
Yeah, did you measure erosion?
No, we did not.
Yeah, I asked but you said that the cost of the increase of some parameters is erosion. But the switchgrass, that's going to retard erosion?
It did. Well, you know, for the erosion, when I showed the description and I compared the A horizon depths, and we found, you know, the A horizon depth at the shoulder was the thinnest, and, you know, the only, or not the only, but the most known reason for that is the erosion. And that's a CRP field, which means it was used to grow field crops, but because the soil quality got very low, they converted it to have switchgrass or grasses in general. Thank you.